We're going to talk about living that supernatural life. And I've been talking to you about it and we're on the third principle. We've talked about, first principle is, it's all about Him. So we're not going to make it about us. If I make my life about me, I'm going to drain. I'm going to pull away from my life. But if I'll make my life about Him, if I'll make it about Him, then God will bless me. The Bible says, if I seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all other things will be added to me. So we make it about Him. So we need to train our vocabulary. We need to train our minds. It's not my life. It's not my wealth. It's not my joy. It's not even my problems. We're going to make it all about Him. Amen. And we're going to say, it's His life. Amen. He's my source. He's my deliverer. He's my healer. He's my helper. Amen. We're going to make it about Him. Amen. The second principle we've talked about is I must see God. Because really, God only does in my life what I allow Him to do through my faith. I choose to let God squeeze through a crack in the door where I swing open the door. And my faith does that. And so we're going to see God bigger. Everybody say, we're going to see Him bigger, stronger, mightier. We're going to see nothing in the world is any match for God. Cancer, Jim, is not any match for God. Amen. It's not any match for God. Amen. All right, we can talk about the third principle of living a supernatural life. The third principle is I contain God. Now, that's a very simple truth, although it's many times hard for us to say because it seems so far-fetched that from creation on, when God created the heavens and the earth, that the universe has been multiplying. It's been continually going forth, and it's at the speed of light. At the speed of light, universes are being created, planets all out there. But the God of heaven, because the Bible says the heavens could not contain God. And see, they constantly are trying. That's why it's going forth in every direction. But they're constantly trying to contain God. But God said, hey, I'll be contained in your heart. And so the God of the whole universe has said, I'll live inside you. That's a powerful truth. But now Jesus came for two major reasons. One reason that Jesus came is to die for our sins and to be raised again the third day, give us a powerful new life. Everybody say, thank Jesus for His new life. But a second reason that Jesus came was to show us how to live, to teach us how to live. And so that's why the life of Jesus is so important. So many times we still see Jesus acting and reacting just as God. But Jesus was fully God. He was also a fully man. God put on earth suit and came down. And because of that, to show us how to live a supernatural life. Amen? So that's why John chapter 14, verse 10, Jesus said, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? Jesus is teaching me how to live a supernatural life. What I'm telling you, I do not say on my own authority and on my own accord, but the Father who lives continually in me. And what Jesus is trying to connect us with a God that lives in us, and He lives continually in us. He doesn't move out when you make a mistake. He stays there trying to help us. Can you say amen? All right. And the next verse says, the Son can do nothing of Himself. That's what Jesus said about Himself. If anybody could do anything, it would be Jesus. But Jesus Himself said, I can't do anything. I live a life connected to God. That's what He said. I'm connected to the Father. All right? And then we find that Mary found it also really hard to believe that God could live in her. And that's why we'll celebrate in just a few weeks Christmas. And it's the celebration of God living in. And then she said, how should this be? And the answer to that is nothing's impossible with God. God can live where He wants to live, and He has chosen to want to live in you and I that have accepted Him. Amen? And another way of saying that, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, it says, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. It is no longer I who live. I know I got my money, my car, my this, but God says it's not that way. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Amen? The simple truth is, I contain God. God's in here. Now, beautifully in God's Word, God continually said this in so many different ways. Now, the Lord speaks to us. God speaks to me. And maybe you're smarter than I am, and you probably are. But God speaks to us in simple ways, and God gives us pictures to where a lot of times we can't comprehend what he's trying to tell us in our mind. So God paints pictures. The Bible calls it parables. And he comes forth in stories to let us see a setting, to try to identify, to get our minds wrapped around a powerful truth that he's trying to give us. And that's the powerful truth that God's trying to give us, is that Christ is in us. In fact, that's the Bible says, is the mystery and the secret that's being revealed now. And it's, in fact, Jesus said this way, said, not only will I live in you, but he said, the kingdom of God is within you. That means God and all of his resource, all of his power, all of his glory has chosen to live inside of us. Amen. And a simple truth is, I contain God. Now, 1 Corinthians, to back this up, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Oh, so many scriptures relating to this. Or don't you know that your body is the home of the Holy Spirit? God has chosen for your body and my body to be the home of God. Isn't that a wonderful thing? And then he began to tell us why. Because God bought us. Oh, I know I want to drive my car, I want to have my wife and all that. But see, God says it's not that way anymore. I own you. And the Lord has chosen to take care of us, because not because you own you. And Old Testament prays this way. Old Testament says, God, will you come to me and help me? But the God of the New Testament says, I'm in you. And so it's not like God coming 2 million miles to help us. In fact, he's as close as your heart is. God's in you. Give the Lord a hand, because the Lord has chosen to reside right there in you. Praise God. Now, Colossians chapter 1, verse 26 says, he has kept this secret for centuries and generations past, but now at last he's pleased him to tell it. God has chosen. For centuries, people did not understand this. All through the Old Testament, they could not understand how a God of the universe could take up residence inside a body. But notice what it said in verse 27. This is the secret. That's the secret of the whole New Testament, is this. That Jesus has died for your sins. And through that born-again experience, he has taken residence up in our lives. Christ lives in us. Isn't that a wonderful thing? All right, now, through the various ways, God wants to teach me this. Help my mind to get wrapped around it. To bring me to a place where I can think about it, consider it, and allow God to flow up out of me and through me. And so in the Bible, he gave us several pictures to help me, for me to get my mind wrapped around it. And said, God is in me as. And so the seven pictures I mentioned to you last week was, he's in me. He says, I'm an earthen vessel, and that he's the glory that's in there. The Bible says that I'm his temple, and said it houses God. God's in his temple. And another picture is, I'm a vineyard, which the sap of the Holy Spirit flows through my life. Another picture said, you're a lamp, but it's my oil that's burning in you. And another picture says, I'm a river that his presence flows through. Somebody says, I'm just a muddy bank. Amen. And number six is, another picture is, I'm a house that God fills. Another picture is that I'm a well that springs up. Amen? So those are beautiful pictures. We're going to talk about possibly one this morning. I want to talk to you in detail. I mentioned to him last week. But it's important that we get our mind wrapped around it. That I can begin to understand that the God of the universe lives inside of here. And God doesn't have to travel 5 million miles to get to my aid. In fact, God is already. If you're in that problem, guess who else is in that problem with you? Somebody say his name. Jesus. He's in that problem with you because he is in there. All right. The Bible says, one of the pictures God gives me, that I'm as a vessel that contains God. I'm just a earthen vessel, but I contain God. I'm an earthen vessel, but get out of the way. This earthen vessel is not important, but God in me is important. Now, immediately people, because when I talk about Christ in me, you're going to come to a place, it brings to a place of humility. Because Christ in me, it takes away the sense of arrogance. And it takes away. Now, when I talk about Christ in me, now when I talk about me in Christ, that's my position. When I say I'm in Christ, that's my position that I have in heaven. That I'm in Christ, the righteousness of God in Christ. And there's 119 verses in the New Testament alone that tell the wonderful person that God has created us in Christ. But now, not only am I in him, But it's a powerful humbleness or a humble thing to begin to consider God's in me. Because, see, most of us know what kind of muddy vessel we are. And it's amazing how God of the universe could live inside of this clay and this mud. But God wants me to believe that. And God wants me to get my mind wrapped around it. That even though I'm just a muddy clay pot, God wants me to get it wrapped around. The God of the universe, the God of all glory, has chosen to live inside of me. Amen? Powerful, wonderful truth. Praise the Lord. All right, the Bible says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, talking about the glory of God. It says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Now, even though it was a mystery in the Old Testament, it was still there. And so we're going to look back real quick into the Old Testament just for a quick moment. And we're going to see how the revelation of me being a clay pot and God's glory, everybody say God's glory. God's glory is in us. The glory of God is inside of us. All right, we're going to talk about the reversal. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, it says this way. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the earth. What was that man's name? Somebody tell me. Adam. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the very breath of life, and man became a living being. Amen. Now, what this says is God just took sand, just took dirt. And he formed. Now it's important to see that that dust means, in the Hebrew, it means mud or rubbish. See, anytime you want to begin to tell everybody how great you are, you just need to start thinking, I'm really rubbish that God lives in. I'm just rubbish. My physical frame that God has chosen to live in is mud. And it's simple mud. Now, the Lord took that mud and he did something with it. He began to form my life, or began to form me. Now, the word formed is literally means, out of the Hebrew, it literally means he's a potter. And he took me in his hands and he began to form. He took mud and made me. Now, like I said, immediately we would begin to be humbled before the Lord that such a great and tremendous God loved us so much. Now we do our best, don't we, to beautify that mud. We try to make that mud slicky, and we try to decorate that mud. We try to paint that mud. We try to make that mud look better than it is. But the truth of the matter is, we're mud. But honey, let's don't talk about the mud. I want to talk to you about the glory that lives in that mud for the glory of God. Amen. Now, that said, the Lord God formed man. He literally formed me as a clay pot. And verse 7 says, and the Lord God formed the man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Now this is the part we want to talk about just a minute. When the Lord formed me out of mud, then he breathed. Now that word breathe in the Hebrew is the word ruach. It has a sound in the Hebrew of wind blowing. It's a ruach. And what God did, God formed me out of the mud. And God said, now I'm going to put something in you that's powerful, that's mighty, that's strong. And so God blew. And when God blew into that mud, inside that mud, there became an inner being. The outer being I can't take much pride in. But I want to tell you what. You don't really see me. You see some things I do, and you may hear some things I say. But the real me is inside that. And even though this outward man's perishing, I want to tell you what, that young man looks good. And he is getting younger all the time. And he's getting stronger all the time. Because it's God that put it in there. God breathed into me his very self. His very self is breathed inside of me. Man, I tell you, it's powerful. When God took that mud and formed me, and then, whoa, he blew in through my nostrils, and I became inside something totally different. Something totally miraculous. Something totally supernatural. I became a vessel filled with his glory. Now, my actions may have disappointed you many times, but let me tell you, His glory is just not through with me yet. His glory is in there. The God of all power, the God of all might. Now, to understand this, you have to understand there's a physical self and there's a spiritual self. You've got to understand that. There's a spiritual self, there's a physical self, and that's the part that we see that's connected with mind, will, and emotions, and that physical self. But there's also a spiritual self that has mind, will, and emotions. Now, it's hard to tell the difference in those two. Your physical self is going to get discouraged, despondent, and depressed. And your inner self is going to get joy-filled and glorious and happy and knowing that God's going to work it all out for the glory of God. Now, I make a decision who I'm going to let rule my life. I'm that deciding force. I make a decision that I'm going to either live my life compiling the facts by my five physical senses, or I'm going to live my life compiling the facts by my spiritual senses. Now, I want us to talk in just a moment about Adam in the process. Everybody say, my spiritual self. Now, what you see on the outside is mud, but what you don't know is what's on the inside. The inside of me is the glory of God. Came forth, birthed by the very breath of God. God created an inner self inside of me that is strong, that's powerful, that can handle any situation. I'm going to tell you what, God's breath doesn't make weaklings. God's breath makes strong. God's breath makes you strengthened. God's breath makes you powerful. Amen? Now, if I'm living by my outward sense, you may convince me of a lot of things. You may be convinced that the enemy is going to take me out before my time. You may be convinced that I'm just not going to make it. I can't go get bills this month and not going to have enough to pay it. You may convince me that the circumstances are so bad I'm just going to give up. But I'm going to tell you what, if I'll quit living by my outer self and I'll begin to live by the power of that inner self, my inner self is based on the promises of God and it's based on God in me. I'm going to tell you, there's nothing in the world that's ever happened to you that the power of God cannot change for the glory of God. Amen. Living according to that inner self. See, we're so conscious of that outer self, but we've got to begin to be conscious. Now, the wonderful thing about it is that outer self is you feed it beans, peas, and potatoes. Now, Lane fed me cream potatoes and gravy last night, and that outer self made a pig of himself. But that inner self, that's what makes that outer man. But honey, I tell you what makes that inner man strong? Somebody hold up the first thing that makes that inner man strong. Hallelujah. Amen. And the second thing that makes that inner man strong is what we've been experiencing here this morning, and that is the presence of God. That's why when you get so discouraged and you come into church and people say something like this, I just don't feel like praising today. Man, my problems got my mind. I can't get my mind off my problems. Man, I'm going through so many problems, I can't even pray. Why don't you quit living according to the outer man? Why don't you hook up and know there's a God in you that can handle any situation, anytime for the glory of God. There's a God in you. There's a God in you. Everybody say, there's a God in me that can handle anything, ready for everything for the glory of God. There's not anything that the devil can send against you that the God in you cannot handle. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right, now the relationship between that physical self and that spiritual self, and we understand that both have eyes, both have ears. My inner self. Now, that's what that word means. When God breathed me the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That word, what it means, an inner self was birthed. An inner self inside me was an inner me. Now, when God made animals, he didn't do it that way. They don't have that inner self. I'm going to tell you what, I'm not a dog. I'm not a cow. I am a vessel of mud that's filled with the glory of God, for the glory of God. Can you say amen? The Lord made us different. God put his glory on the inside of us. Now, that inner man has so much associated with the outer man. The only thing is where you get the source of your information from. That outer man is going to get the source of his. If I'm going to live under the dictates of that outer man is going to get his information. It's going to get his information, what I can feel, what I can see, what I can hear, or what I can touch. Now, that physical man. But now that spiritual man is also going to get information. but he's getting information from a totally different source. I tell you, somebody here this morning, you're having a rough time. And the Lord wants you to know, if you'll quit letting that dog kick you around, if you'll get him to start kicking that lousy Satan, that you'll find out there's something in you that can handle. Satan is no match for what's in you, honey. Satan is no match for what's in you. 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 It's according to where you're going to get the source at. Now that, you know, that inner man gets his source in from the Lord. Your senses are different. The Bible says that a mature believer has their senses so trained to discern good and evil. That outside man doesn't have those senses trained. All he's just going to tell you is what temperature it is, how that feels. But that inward man has another set of eyes, another set of ears. And here's the Bible says, tells us, for we look not at the things which are seen, for they are temporal. But tells us to look. Isn't that odd? Tells us to look on the things which are not seen. Because the things that are not seen, they are eternal. They have eternal power with them. They have eternal strength with them. They're eternal. That's the Zoe life of God, the strength and the power of God. So if I will allow God, God will help me to begin to not focus my life. These are given to me to help this relate to here. It's not to let this out here to tell me what this is. God's given me physical eyes to help me. God's expectancy is that Him inside of us will have rule over our life. But what happened to man is, when they fell, the exact opposite became true. Man began to live under the dictates of the outer man. The outer man, I'm going to tell you what, honey, it's just a vehicle. Some of you are driving that Rambler around, you need to park it. You understand? Some of you don't know what a Rambler is, okay? All right. Some of you are living your life in that horse-drawn carriage, and you need to realize God put a Cadillac with a 452 inside you that's able to run and able to take care of your life. Amen? So we just determine it. All right, now the Bible says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, said the Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to tend and watch over it. Who taught Adam to do that? Where did Adam get that knowledge at? See, now when you talk about living according to the outer man, you're talking about living in accordance with what I can hear, what is an arena of reason. Now it's good to have reason. How many has ever been associated with somebody that didn't have any reason? It's a hard way. But it's good. Reason's not bad, but reason cannot dictate your life. God inside you has to be the source and the direction of your life. Then God has given you a physical mind to reason. He has given you a communicative ability through speaking. And He's given you a listening ability. So that you can take what God's doing in here and can relate it or speak it out or to use it over this situation out here. Which just exactly the opposite has come true. This out here becomes the ruling force of this, which tries to dictate, you just shut up, you little old spirit in there. You just shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. Do you going to embarrass me? No. God don't want to embarrass you. God wants to heal you, deliver you, help you, strengthen you, power you. All those wonderful things. And it's just where you're going to determine to get your source. Now, some people used to get their source from National Geographic. Do they still have National Geographic, or is it all? It's all, but they quit making. Or I don't know. Some of them have went completely on here. I don't know where your source. All those things are good. I mean, all those things, but you can't let them dictate your life. You've got to have God as your source and God the dictator of your life. And when the world tells you you can't go, you got to let the God in heaven say, just let them get out of my way, because I'm going through this thing for the glory of God. God is not limited. God is not limited, and the unlimited God resides inside of each one of us. Amen? All right, so where did Adam get that? See, Adam lived out of his spirit. So out of his spirit, the spirit control, we'll prove that in just a quick minute. Out of his spirit, see, Adam had unbelievable intellect. Because every animal in earth could come and he could tell them. He could apply the proper name to them. God gave him an unbelievable task. He was to subdue and rule over the whole garden. He had this huge task. But Adam had no problem, see, with it. Because you know why? God came to him at the cool of every day. I say the presence of God would do in your spirit. It will strengthen your spirit. It'll make you strong. At the cool of the day, it became a father and a son. At the cool of the day, God would come into the garden every day. And can't you just see? He'd just take little Adam by that hand. There's something about the presence of God. The next time the devil tells you you're too discouraged to praise God, you need to tell that devil where to get off at. And you need to understand that the times you feel the greatest discouragement out here is the time you need to be lifting those hands of the highest. You've got to understand your source is unlimited. Your source is unlimited. What the Word of God will do and what the presence of God will do to your inner man is unbelievable. I mean, it will cause you to walk up to some water and you'll stick a stick in it and it'll go become dry land. You'll walk up to some water and you'll hear in your spirit, let's just walk on this water today, son. And you say, okay, Dad, I'm just going to walk on this water. And you just go tiptoeing through not the tulips, but the water. But you walk on the water. Other times he said, I'm just going to say, and God, Dad, take your hand. He'll just say, see that water there? Well, that water thinks it's going to overflow you. It's not going to be able to. I'm bigger and stronger and mightier than any force, God says. I can handle this. I can handle this. I can handle this. I can handle this. I tell you what, anytime I've ever connected with my heart inside, and that's what it is. We have to connect with the Spirit of God that's inside us. Anytime I've ever connected and I was connected with it over a problem, I would always hear this. Son, I can handle it. Because, see, I wanted to tell God how he couldn't handle it and how that problem was gone. God was probably going to be bigger than God. But God just wanted me to know, son, I can handle it. I can handle it. I'm telling you what God's saying to you today. He can handle it. He can handle it. He can handle it. Now, you can live in that spirit of discouragement and despondency and depression if you want to. You can live under the power of those drugs and or whatever it is, or an alcohol, or you can just determine the God in me is stronger than the God that's against me and the God of this world I'm talking about. The God in me is stronger. And if I will begin to draw from my source on the inside of me, and if I will allow God to be God, then there's nothing that God cannot handle. I'm here to tell there's somebody that needs to hear this morning. The God of heaven wants you to know that he can handle what you're going through. You're discouraged, you're despondent, you're almost depressed, but God says, I can handle what you're going through. The problem is the place you're getting your information. You've got to let your inner self, everybody say the inner self. You got to let your inner self where God is, where God breathed that breath, where God breathed into Adam. And Adam became a strong inner self. Somebody say, I'm a strong inner self. I'm a strong inner self. Come on now. Some of you don't want to say that because you've been busy telling your wife how weak you really are. But you got to understand, you may be weak out here, but honey, you're not weak in here. Because the God of the universe is inside you. And if I will allow God, there's nothing that he cannot handle for the glory of his name. Amen? Amen. See, Adam learned where my spirit gets strong is in the presence of God. And he would take that period of time when God would come to him every day. And withdraw strength from that. God created the spirit in him. Breathed into him. The ruach breath of God. God created the spirit. And God's created the spirits in you. Some of you think your mom and dad gave you that life. No, they gave you that curly hair when you wanted straight. And they gave you that straight hair when you wanted curly. That's what they gave you. They gave you the mud. You hear what I'm telling you? But there was only a God in heaven that breathed his life into you. Amen. And so that spirit that's in you, that inner man that's in you, grows stronger in the Word of God. You feed it. Whatever you feed is going to live stronger. And God's will was that Adam and Eve would spend their time gaining the strength of his presence. Then walking out of his presence and doing everything God had told them to do. That's why Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father do. So the will of God for your life, the very same. The will of God for your life is that you spend time in the presence of God. And then you walk out of that and you do everything God's told you to do. Now let me tell you something. You're supposed to be different on your job. There shouldn't be anybody there working harder, stronger, got more character than you on that job. They should not be. You're a believer. You don't get mad at other people like they get mad. You don't get bothered when other people's trying to do you wrong. You just say, "How pile it on, devil. I'm strong inside. I can handle it for the glory of God." You don't live life like everybody else. You don't work like everybody else. You don't love like everybody else. You don't talk like everybody else. You hear what I'm telling you? You're different. Your source is the God of heaven that's in you. That's your source. It brings you to a whole new level of being. See, that's why they were called Christians. Because they looked just like Jesus, talked just like Jesus, walked just like Jesus, and acted just like Jesus. Because you know why? Jesus was on the inside of them. So we learned that the strength of God. But see, but the Lord God warned him. I'm closing now. Well, this morning. He said, but the Lord God warned him, you may freely eat of the fruit of the tree in the garden. Then verse 17 says, except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. See, what was wrong with that tree? Because God never, ever brought the knowledge of evil. It wouldn't originate with Adam. He hadn't committed yet. It originated with Lucifer back when he made the decision, I'm going to rebel against God. I'm not going to trust God. I'm not going to walk with God. When Lucifer made that decision, the Bible said that Satan and all his angels were cast down into the earth. Now the earth then had the knowledge of evil. God said, my kids don't live there. My kids live underneath my truth. My kids live underneath what I say. The strength of my word carries them through. There's nothing that the devil can ever do that can stop the strength of my power in you, says the Lord. So just got to realize, man, there is a physical me. There is a spiritual me. One day when this old physical gets ready to lay down and quit, whoo, guess who's going to jump up and live with Jesus forever? Live with Jesus forever. It is amazing to me that we spend most of our life decorating, getting ready for, and making right things for this that's going to just die and pass away. We spend most of our existence on something the Bible says has a death warrant on it. But God says, if I will give my time to allowing God to do something deep in my spirit to affect me for eternity. Everybody say, for eternity. Now, the serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. See, Satan evidently couldn't get into the garden. He was shielded by God. So the devil did the same thing he does to you. He can't get into your life unless you start believing him. So what he does, he'll begin to lie to you first. He'll begin to say, you can't trust God. Hey, things may not work out. You know, God said that, but that's just a fable. Things may not work out. And the very moment then that he began to influence the serpent, then the serpent moved in to influence Eve. And so what he said? You won't die. You won't die. It's amazing how God's knowledge is totally different from our knowledge. Because immediately when God said, you will die, we immediately say, well, I know Adam walked out of there. I know he didn't die. But God knew that the real part of Adam, the part that God had created with his breath, was the one that was going to die. And so what happened was, the treason went forth. You won't die, the serpent said, replied to the woman. God knows that your eyes will be opened. Well, he was so wrong at that. Devil takes half a truth and twists it. Just like in your life, he does that very same thing. He'll take a half a truth and twist it. He'll take half a truth. Well, you know, God understands me. I'm not supposed to put up with this in my home. I'm not supposed to put up with this in my job. He'll take half a truth and he'll twist it. If you don't watch him, before you know it, he'll have you acting just like the world. In fact, you'll be adding your name to the petitions just like the world. Instead of realizing, God in heaven can change all of this for me. That God in heaven can do it. Amen. I believe we work underneath the strength of God. I believe we're to think underneath the grace of God. I believe we're to deal with people underneath the grace of God. I believe we're to love underneath the grace of God. See, I believe God's empowerment makes believers supernatural. I believe that. Because that's what the early church... Now, when Satan said, you won't die, but he said, your eyes will be open. Now, the truth of the matter, the wrong eyes opened. Up until that time, Adam had lived his life based on the information of his inner self. God would come to him. When he looked at a situation, he would see it through the eyes of God. When he would think about a sermon, he would think about it through the mind of the Lord. The Bible said the mind of the Spirit. But what the devil said, your eyes are open. Because the devil knew if he can get Adam to shut his spiritual eyes, to quit looking the way God would see it, and if he could get his physical eyes open to only see it as the physical world around him, he knew that he could destroy him. So literally that day, Adam's eyes shut. That's why the New Testament says, having the eyes of our heart flooded with light. God says, let me open your spiritual eyes again. Let me open your spiritual eyes again. God says, let me open your spiritual ears again. That the devil has lied to you, that shut you down from hearing spiritually inside me. God said, let me help you. God says, I will help you to get your spiritual eyes and your spiritual ears open. The truth of the matter is, the wrong eye opened. Yeah, his eyes opened. Adam's eyes opened. But all of a sudden, for the first time in his whole life, Adam's started seeing things the way things appeared. And he closed from seeing the way things are. The amazing thing about that was that when he did that, immediately, when he began to open up his physical eyes, also the Bible says that he heard God walking now. Instead of him running to God, he ran away from God. But this is what Adam said for the first time in humanity. I feared. The Bible says fear hath torment. If you're living your life based on what you see and what you hear out here, you have a lot of fear going on in your life. Just what happened with the terrorist in the last 2 days. A lot of fear going on. But I'm telling you, if you say, God, help me, open up here. Help me, God. Miles Monroe, one of the greatest men of the Lord. I love his teachings. But here several months ago, he was boarding a plane. Miles Monroe lived in the Caribbean. And he was boarding a plane heading to another island to preach. But Miles Monroe, he always wanted to be correct in everything he did. Wonderful person. But he boarded the plane. One of the pastors that was with him said, Brother Miles, God said there's harm on that plane. Miles said, you got to do according to your dictates of your heart. And the pastor said, Brother Monroe, can't go with you on that plane. God said no. He failed to climb on that plane. Every person that climbed on that plane that day, their life ended that day. God says, there's ears on the inside of you that can hear me. There's eyes on the inside of you that can see me. There's a heart in you that can trust me. There's a mind in your heart that can find peace in the midst of the hardest situation. And there is an emotion of joy that I desire to bring into every person's life where the no battle in life can ever, ever get you down. Because my exceeding great joy can overpower. Amen? In fact, that becomes the vehicle for our strength. So let's close. Lord, I want to thank you for the grace of God. I want to thank you for the strength, Lord. I want to thank you, Lord, that we contain God. And Lord, I certainly don't mean that from some arrogant way. You know that. The Bible says that the God of heaven chose to come into these humble vessels of mud and clay. But Lord, it's your glory. It's your glory that's in me. It's your glory, Lord. It's your glory. Now, Lord, I ask you to help me today, help me this morning, as we come to the close of this noon hour. I ask you to help me, God. Help me open up the eyes of my heart, God. Lord, I ask you to open the ears of my spirit. Help me to hear you in this situation. Lord, help me to see the promise of God in this situation. God, help me to have the peace of God in my inner man that will cause every storm that I face to cease underneath your powerful declaration of your word. I really believe that this morning that God has a call. And if we will determine in the Lord that we want to be that spiritual person that God's called us to be, I believe with all of my heart God's going to help us get there. I don't believe that it'll come in one moment at a time, but God's going to take us on. God's going to help us to regain what the enemy had taken from us. And I believe that God's going to help us to get the eyes of our spirit open. And I believe that God's going to help us to get the ears of our spirit open. And God's going to cause to help us to get the emotions of our spirit, which is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and kindness and faithfulness, meekness, temperance. God's going to help us to get those working as the controlling elements of our life. God's going to help us for the glory of God. I'm going to quickly first ask you, I want you to bow your heads with me. If you're here this morning, you say, Jerry, I feel like I've really failed. I've went the way of error, just the same way that Adam did. I've allowed the enemy to shut down my inner person. But in the name of Jesus, I'm here this morning not by accident. I'm here this morning to believe God, that God is big enough and God's strong enough. Number one, He'll forgive me. And number two, I'm here to believe that God will restore me. God will restore me. I want you very quickly to slip your hand up right there where you're sitting. Would you, if that's you? Now I want you to quickly just stand with me. The Bible says once when we are able to do that, come on, stand with me very quickly. That if you believe in God, that God is the power of God to not only to forgive you, but God's going to restore. God's going to begin the work of restoration back into our life in Jesus' name. Now I want you to speak this out your mouth. I want you to say, Father, in Jesus' name, I repent of leaning on that arm of the flesh. I'm sorry. Come on, speak it out with me. I'm sorry that I've went the way of trusting the flesh more than I trust the Spirit of God. But this morning, by faith in Jesus, I ask you to forgive me, Lord. I ask you to forgive me, and I ask you to cleanse me in Jesus' name. And I ask you again, O Lord, restore to me eyesight of the Spirit. Restore to me my ears being open unto God. Cause me to see you, Lord, instead of just seeing the dilemmas I face. Your power, Lord, working in me in Jesus' name. Now I want you to give me a bold confession one more time, then we're closed. I want you to take that little hand, just like you was making a pledge of allegiance, I want you to place it over your heart. And I want you to say this. I want you to say, Lord, thank you that you have chosen to live in me. I thank you, Lord, that you don't have to come from 2 million miles away. You live in me, God. And I believe with all of my heart that your work in me is a great work. It's a mighty work because I contain God in Jesus' name. Hallelujah!